Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, August 10th, the year of our Lord, 2025, and this is the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. It is an absolute joy to welcome you here to the podcast. I pray that our time together will be a time of reflection and renewal and a good time of spiritual rest. So let us begin together, as is our custom and practice around here, where we pause for a moment to really put ourselves in a mind of gratitude. And we begin by taking in a big breath and holding on to that breath, savoring that breath, and giving thanks to God for the breath of life, for the gift of life itself. And as you release that breath and draw in another breath, take a moment to call to mind the people and the places, the situations and the opportunities that light you up inside. And as you call these good gifts to mind, give thanks to God for all of it. Perhaps open your arms out wide, turn your face toward the heavens. Say a heartfelt thank you. And let's begin together in worship.
Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We come convinced of many things, but trusting very few. Holy God of limitless surprises, meet us here in this place as we touch that which we cannot see, that which we have not dared to hope. Today's scripture reading comes from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3 and 8 through 16. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, with Sarah's involvement, he received power of procreation even though he was too old, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better homeland, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them.
Gracious and merciful God, we call out to you, we pray, we give you thanks for the gift of this, your good and living word. We pray that you'd meet us in this moment, that you would be our companion and our guide, that you would save us from misinterpretation and distraction, so that we could truly hear what it is you are saying to each and every one of us. We ask this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Friends, I think it's safe to say that all of us, at some point in our lives, have needed some powerful encouragement. Not little affirmations, not little pats on the shoulder, but deep encouragement, spiritual encouragement. Those moments in our lives where we feel that we've hit the wall, we've reached an impasse. Those situations where we have problems that medicine can't solve, that money can't fix, things that in the midst of it, while we're in the weeds, in the deep of the forest, we can't find what we understand to be earthly solutions to a problem. And perhaps we feel embarrassed or foolish or dejected because we set out on a path. Maybe that was a career path or the pursuit of a degree or an opportunity that the further we got into it, the harder and the more complicated it got. And yet somewhere in our soul, we knew we had to persevere to take the next step. And then we just come to this moment where I've had enough. How much more can I give to this thing? When I lay it out on paper, the pros and the cons, the costs and the benefits, man, the costs, that column gets longer and longer. In some way, this is the intention of the letter to the Hebrews, to address a community that is set out on a path. To be a community of Christ followers, of Jewish Christians, pursuing the way of this new covenant. To follow in the way of the one who comes in grace and peace. To abide by the authority of the King who does not take, the King who gives. A gospel of nonviolence. A gospel of inclusion and acceptance and justice and peace. And it butts up against the harsh realities of their world and our world as well. So the author of this letter, and we're uncertain who it is that has authored this letter to the Hebrews. And in many ways it doesn't make a difference, because what is offered to us here is brilliant and, I pray, inspiring. The author draws on the rich tradition, the story of the ancestors that came before, draws on the strength and the faith that required them to persevere, to take the next step, to live in to the promise or to the vision that was cast by Almighty God. The author encourages them in, as we hear at the beginning of chapter 11, encourages them in faith. One of the more famous passages of Scripture reads this way: "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The ability to persevere even when the results aren't in hand. Faith is not certainty. Faith isn't like receiving a contract or an instruction manual that says, follow these steps in sequence and you will get to your destination or your desired outcome. Faith speaks to the hope of the heart, to this inkling that we have deep inside, that there is a song that we attempt to sing in harmony with. There is a way for human beings to live with one another that is more excellent and seems to be in a greater congruence or harmony with what we see in the evidence of the design in the creation. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. A community of people that set out to create this Jesus community of mutual love and blessing and forgiveness and the sharing of burden, and a kind of mutual trust, mutual blessing. And as I said before, it runs afoul with the world. And it's the way things have always been. The writer goes on to say, indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. The beauty and the complexity of the created order speak to a creative design. That in a moment, things were formless and void, and a spirit hovered over this chaos, and the spirit explodes, the spirit speaks. And what we can see, hear, feel, taste, and touch, and measure the hues and the colors and the complexity and the beauty and the power. All a sight to behold and all a sign of something even more magnificent. Someone even more magnificent. This is the underlying spiritual energy that's present in the spirit of this community that's been formed. The author goes on to remind them of their history, their formation, their covenant and salvation history begins with Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. That is a point where we can sit and sip and savor the risk and the faith. And throughout the letter, the author names these champions of the faith, those who were set a task by this one that they understood to be the Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth. Go and do this thing. And for some unmeasurable or conveniently definable reason, they respond, Abraham, take everything, take it all and go. Leave what is familiar and go. And I will put new challenges and opportunity along your path every step of the way. And so the long story that unfolds in Genesis, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out not knowing where he was going. There's the receiving by faith. And by faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Now that last sentence can fall on one person's ears as rich comfort, as an anointing oil, the sense of a longing for a place that is perfect, a place that is not violent, not impoverished, a place of love, a place that as Abraham roams the earth, as the sojourners of this world walk the streets of the cities and the small towns, looking and hoping and seeing glimpses of this city, but never quite finding it. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Looking for the city of God, the city of grace and peace, the city of challenge and acceptance, city of truth and beauty and love. This city. This is the compelling vision that allows this foundational community to persevere. I know there's something better just over the horizon. I can't see it with my eyes, but somewhere in my soul, I know that this is all worth it. This is what the author is encouraging this community to hold fast to as it deals with the immediate circumstances of everyday life. Going on to verse 11, by faith, with Sarah's involvement. I like that little add-on. By faith. Oh, and Sarah was involved too. He received the power of procreation. Isaac. He received power of procreation even though he was too old, because he considered him faithful who he had promised. God promises Abraham and Sarah a son. Even when all of the clinical evidence, even when their age and everything about them physically pointed to you're much closer to dying than you are to having children, they had children. And therefore, from one person, and this one is good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as innumerable and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. In a moment, God makes a promise. A promise so seemingly crazy and ridiculous that Sarah laughs. Like, how could it be? Don't play with me like that, God. God says, hold up. Don't laugh. God will move. And God does. Produces offspring. As many as the stars of heaven. But the encouragement from the foundational story of faith, it continues. All of these died in faith without having received the promise. But from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better homeland that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. This beautiful letter, and I suggest that you read the whole thing. Find a good commentary on it. And as I encourage you to do with all of our encounters with Scripture, try to understand it in its context, in the there and the then, and then embrace the human story, our compatibility with it, that these are fellow travelers of ours with so many of the hopes and dreams and aspirations and challenges that they faced. They have different names and they come in different ways, but to be a community that has an encounter with the divine, a community that becomes inspired that things can be better than the way they are now, that there is a more excellent way to live in this world. And even when this world is brutal and unfair and unjust and corrupt, as it always has been, there are those, and there are legions of us, that hold on to a more excellent vision. That indeed all of this is created at the hand of God, that all of us is a leaning in and an aspiration toward true and divine justice, a justification, a balancing out, a making right, a putting of the order to what is right, to its the balance of its original created intent. And I can't properly attribute the quote, and I'll butcher it anyway, but the expression, the belief that the arc of faith, the arc of things, bends towards justice. That is to say, that moment at the end of history when heaven and earth collide. And there are the seeds of the gospel that in Christ, the eternal, the Christ figure, Jesus, steps into time, comes into history. And so we have the inbreaking of the kingdom of heaven in the here and now. And we're called to grasp it, to fan the flames of it, to tell others, in the case of this community, to build a community around it, to show the world that it's possible, that part of the good news of the coming of Christ is that heaven is happening now, eternity is happening now, the kingdom of the heavens already exists, and so we, the good news is this, we can participate in it. We can live as citizens of it according to its way, its constitution, if you will. We can abide by the rules and the laws that govern the kingdom of the heavens now. Even if, as he says here, or she says here, we don't know who the author is, even when we know we won't fully grasp it, we won't in this life, very likely, not cross into that land in full, but that ours is through faith to shine the light of it, to reflect the light of the heavenly places in the world that we navigate in our daily living, in our own personal charity, in our ability to pause long enough to listen to someone's story, to invite someone for coffee or lunch, to take the time to listen to them, or to trust and love someone enough to say, you know what, I'm having trouble keeping hope alive. I sure could use a moment of your time. That fans the flame. That keeps the story and the promise and the truth alive. That's strength to persevere. It's not certainty. It's bigger than that. It's the assurance of things hoped for. That this anticipation that burns in your heart, the reason you can name something as just or unjust, fair or unfair, good or evil, comes from the divine spark, the imago Dei, this image of God that is in each and every one of us. And the brutality sometimes of life, in the injustice of life, in the pettiness of life, or just the stuff of everyday life, the working and paying and living and dying, can beat us down and quench the spirit. This author is encouraging us. Find the examples in your own story. Find your examples in the life of faith. And trust. Have faith in the assurance of things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen, a deep and abiding understanding that God is with us. And God is for us, and God is ahead of us, calling us, encouraging us, cheering us down, propping us up when we fall, pulling us away from the ledge, reminding us that there is a home for each and every one of us. And we can feel its warmth and see its light here and now. And we'll celebrate it at the great and wonderful time of the coming of Christ. It is inspiring and challenging, encouraging good news. It is news that nurtures faith. It gives us assurance and hope. It is the good news of Almighty God. And we give thanks for it and say amen. Heavenly Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah and Rebecca and Rachel, God of Mary and Joseph, God of apostles and disciples, God of the unnamed faithful, we call to you and we pray. We come with gratitude, thanksgiving for the assurance that we find in the tradition of faith and in the encouragement of people we love. And we take a moment to confess our stuff, the things that we've done that we regret, the times that we didn't take action when we should have, the impulsive words that we've spoken that hurt, and the times when we really should have spoken up. We fall short. We know it. And we also take great courage in the promises that you've made, that when we approach with open hands and turned out pockets, you hold us close, and you dust us off, and you bind our wounds, and you set us up straight, and you put us back on the path. And so we claim that promise right now, and we thank you for it, for your forgiveness and your healing. And we offer you petitions of prayer. God, we pray over this, your good world, this beautiful creation, and we pray for your healing. Healing over all the earth. And we pray for people in positions of influence and power. People who in many practical ways could make life better on this earth. But it takes you and your grace and your miracle working to soften hearts and enlighten minds. And we pray, Lord, in your mercy, bring your grace and your wisdom and your vision into the ways and the corridors of power and influence. And for those of us who are uncertain what level of power or influence we possess, remind us that in faith, we are more powerful than we imagine. That there is great power in your word. There is power in wisdom. There is power in forgiveness. There is great power in generosity, in charity, and love. Remind us of these gifts and help us to put them into practice. And God, you know the things that we carry around with us, the opportunities, the joys, and the concerns, the stuff of our prayer list. So we take a moment to pause and to be quiet and to hand our prayer lists over to you with the assurance that you will read every word and that you will respond to us. So join us here in this quiet moment. Come alongside us, we pray. Help us to hear your voice and feel your presence in this moment of peace. We break our silence. We give you thanks, O God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. Help us to practice these gifts every day. And as we seek encouragement from those who have gone before us, we do just that as we say together a prayer that you taught your first disciples. Hear us, O God, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will do so encouraged. Encouraged that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is a gift from Almighty God, the God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.